We certainly do have a good attendance today. It might be down just a little bit because so many of our members are visiting out of town, including my wife. She normally goes to visit with her oldest son over the Mother's Day holiday because his birthday is right at the same time. So they go and have his birthday and Mother's Day together. Plus this year, he called ahead and said, "Mom, would you come up and spend the weekend with us for Mother's Day? And since you're going to be here on Saturday, we're going to get you to babysit. We've got a party to go to." Trust me, she did not mind that at all. I want to give two things before I begin. I was on the way over this morning and I got a text and it said that Tudor was going to be here today. And Tudor, I want you to know, I got a big old smile across my face when I heard you were going to be here. And I still have that smile on my face. It's just so good to see Tudor. I hope everyone was able to see her as she came in. She looked so good. And we just never did give up on Tudor, and the Lord didn't either. So we're so glad she's here. Tonight, if you're able to be here, and we certainly encourage that you are, you might want to bring pen and pencil. We're going to be having a Bible class tonight. It will be in the form of a sermon, but it will be a Bible class. What we're going to be doing tonight is we're going to be looking at the history of the church. We're going to look at what Jesus said about the church. Then we're going to look at the church in the book of Acts. Then we're going to look at the church as Paul and the other penmen wrote about it in the epistles. Then we're going to continue going. We're going to go through those dark ages, look at the period of Reformation, the period of Restoration. And I think it'll just be a good history lesson for all Christians that you might need to know, might be interested in. So I'll have a handout. Please bring pencil and paper, and we'll have that Bible study tonight. You know, one of the most useful tools at our disposal is a calendar. I have a calendar on the display of my car. I have a calendar on my watch. I have two or three in my office here and at least a couple in my office at home. It's just good to have a calendar. You can write things on it, even in the future. It doesn't do you much good to write in the past, but you can write in the future and know what's fixing to take place. Today, you can even program your smartphone. I'm just now learning how to answer it without disconnecting it, so I haven't got quite that far. But you can program that into your smartphone. It will tell you certain things that are coming up. I suppose you could program it, and it'll wake you up on Sunday saying it's time to go to church. Monday, it's time to go to work. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever that might be. We can even program special days into it. I can say this, since my wife is out of town, you can program your anniversary and your wife's birthday into it, and then you don't have to make those excuses on the spur of the moment when you forget. And there are other special days. I thought seriously about talking about programming your doctor appointments, but we senior citizens don't like to talk about that. They come so very often. But they're amazing. Calendars are amazing. I think the oldest calendars they have go back to ancient China, 2,000 or 3,000 years ago. The Aztec and the Inca had ancient calendars. In fact, I believe it was the Inca that had a calendar that came right up to the year 2012 and it stopped. And you know, I've always told you there are people that'll believe something silly, sooner they will believe the truth. All of a sudden, there's this big theory that the world is going to end in 2012. Well, believe it or not, it didn't. I looked at my calendar and it did not end. But calendars are very, very good. They're very, very functional. They'll even give you special days. 4th of July, 4th Thursday in November, December 25th. I was going to mention April 15th. I decided I wouldn't do that today. And also, I don't know if you know this, but today is one of those special days. May the 8th is one of those special days. Now, some of you are going to think I'm teasing, and I'm really not. Look it up for yourself. May 8th, National Lemonade Day. That's true. Now, May 8th this year happens to fall on the second Sunday of May. And today is Mother's Day. The origin of Mother's Day goes all the way back to the ancient Greeks. To tell you the truth, it's not a very nice story. The ancient Greeks were so arrogant about themselves that they established a day of appreciation for their mothers having such perfect people as the ancient Greek people were. In our understanding, it dates back to England when there was a mothering day, and that was a day celebrating motherhood. Here in the United States, it goes back to the early 1870s. Now remember, in the early 1870s, we were just coming out of the depression of the Civil War, and there was a lady whose name was Julia Ward Howe. And if that name rings a bell, you'll remember she was the lady that wrote the words to the battle hymn of the Republic, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." She decided, as we were coming out of the Civil War, to have a national day for mothers to appreciate the peace that was now in our nation. So in the early 1870s, she established Mother's Day, as we know it today, a day of peace. Mothers would appreciate peace more than anything else. So nearly 150 years later, we're still associating motherhood and peace. Now, brethren, I am not, please listen very closely, I am not suggesting that we are here for any reason other than to worship God and to pay honor to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why we are here. I am not saying anything else. But just as we don't worship God and honor Jesus only on the first day of the week, we do that every day of the week, we also should take advantage of this one day of the year and make mention of what the Bible has to say about mothers and motherhood. We're here to worship God. But we might as well read some of these scriptures also. And especially since statistics show that people are very, very interested in Mother's Day. There are more phone calls made on Mother's Day than any other day of the year. There are more greeting cards sent to an individual. We're not talking about when we send dozens of them out on Christmas. There are more greeting cards sent to mothers than any other individual during the year. Here's one that surprised me. There are more bouquets of flowers sent to Mother's Day, even that are sent to sweethearts on Valentine's Day. So it is a very, very important day for us. It is also the day when more young adults go to church with their mother than any other Sunday in the year. It seems like we take dad fishing on Father's Day and we come to church with mothers on Mother's Day. And I believe that also. But today is not just for today. And it's really not for the future. It's a day to reflect. A day to look back. A day to realize how blessed many of us have been. And brothers and sisters, I realize not everyone is blessed with a happy home. I realize that. Not everyone is blessed with a loving mother. I realize that. But those of us who have, say our prayers for you. I wish it could have been better for you. Let me read a quotation. I found this quotation. I believe it is probably the most accurate quotation to be read on Mother's Day that could be found. Someone said this, "I do not believe that anything has ever been said or will ever be said that is eloquent enough or expressive enough to articulate the true value of mother." And I agree. I would imagine there are preachers all over the world trying to find just the right words to say so that we're not too mushy-gushy on this day, but say the accurate words to let people know how appreciative humankind should be concerning mothers. One mother said, "The joy of motherhood is what a woman experiences when all of her children are finally to bed. And there was another lady that was talking to one of her college friends. She said, before I was married, I had three theories about raising children. Now that I have three children, I have no clue whatsoever. And someone else named Captain Perry, and I do not know who Captain Perry is. Tell me after the services today who it is. Captain Perry said this, you can fool some of the people all of the time. I thought that was Barnum and Bailey, but all of the people some of the time, but you can't fool Mom. And I agree with that statement also. But let's see what the Bible says. Proverbs 31 verse 26. She speaks with great wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her lips. She cares so much for the ways of her household and does not have time to eat the bread of idleness. Solomon, when he was writing the book of Proverbs to his son, said, my son, do not forsake the teaching of your mother. And though I realize this was written gender neutral, Proverbs 22 verse 6 still shows the true authority or the true responsibility of a mother when Solomon wrote, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Another cute little story. There was a little girl that was helping her mother wash dishes. Coincidentally, the little girl was an only child, and her mother was also an only child. Well, as they were washing, she would look up at her mommy, and they would wash a little bit more, and she would look up at her mommy, and finally she noticed some gray hairs there mingled into the dark hair. And she said, mommy, where did those gray hairs come from? And her mother thought, well, this will be a wonderful teaching experience. She said, honey, those gray hairs come every time you do something that makes me sad. Every time you don't obey me, every time you go against me, one of my dark hairs turns gray. And the little girl thought about it for a moment and she said, so that's why all of Grandma's hairs are gray. You know, there are just some words that go together. I mentioned fishing. You think about fishing, you think about dad. You think about football or baseball, you think about dad. You think about fresh baked cookies, you think about mom. In fact, you think about home, you think about mom. Brethren, I sincerely hope that everyone in this audience today was blessed with a happy home. I sincerely hope and pray that is the case. If not, you really missed a true blessing from God. Because home is where we learn how to live. Home is where we learn how to appreciate each other. Home is where we learn how to overlook the problems of the world and enjoy life as much as we possibly can. And I'm not saying this because I'm a dad, but we don't learn those things from dad. Let's be honest. We learn those things from mom. Mom tells us how to live and leads that example. She tells us what love is all about, and she leads that example. She probably is the one that first taught us how to read, and probably first taught us how to read from the Bible. She taught us how to appreciate the people around us and show that appreciation. Fishing, hunting, sports, let's give that to dad. But as far as teaching us about love, let's give that to mom. Now, admittedly, a lot of you have already lost your mom. I'm fortunate my mom is still with me. But when you think of mom, you think of home. And when you think of home, you think of love. But when you think of love at home, you realize what a tremendous responsibility God has given to mothers. Most of us, at least for a period of time, can forget about the troubles that are in our life And we can just remember the sights and sounds of home. At home we knew we were loved. The Bible says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise. It says, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, our children from one's youth are blessed. Blessed is the man, or blessed is the family who fills their quiver with them. They shall not be put to shame, even when they speak to their enemies. And the same type of love that we learn from our mom is the same type of love we read about in the Bible. I know that God is our heavenly Father. I know that Jesus is our brother. But the kind of love that they express to us is the kind of love we see in our mothers. Jesus loved us so much. He loved us so much that He went to the cross for us. Brethren, He loves us this much. And He holds those arms open wide for us. And until we reach Him, we can possibly only find that kind of love in our mothers. We need a Savior, but we need someone to explain what saving is all about. Jesus, though, can wipe all tears from our eyes in heaven. More about what the Bible says. Her children rise up early and call her blessed. The word blessed can elsewhere be translated happy. I think here Solomon is saying we children have the responsibility to make our mothers happy. Her husband also, and he praises her. And concerning Jesus, the child, and Mary, his mother, the Bible says she treasured all these things in her heart. You know, we as adults, we as teenagers, adolescents, we live such a busy life. We really do. We have things to do and people to talk to and things that occupy our time. But I hope you realize that even the smallest amount of concern that we show our aged mother means the world to them. I can voice that from my own life. Sometimes when we get so busy, let's realize we're never too busy for her. Hers is the voice of love. Hers is the voice of encouragement. Hers is the voice we hear until we make heaven our home. I'd like to conclude this special lesson by reading a poem entitled, My Mother. Now, it's written in the first person, so I'll be reading it as if to my mother. You listen to it as if it is to your mother. It says, I know your love. I've seen your tears. You've given me my life. You've lived through hours and days and years of heartache, toil, and strife. To see that I could have the best that you could give to me. You gave up needs and often rest. You viewed eternity. To do His will is my highest call. And by your special care, I stood and walked and did not fall. You held me up in prayer. Though strands of gray may brush your hair and miles might divide our way, I know that by your quiet prayer, you've helped me every day. You've shown me how to give, to share, to put my own needs last. You've helped me see and be aware that life is so soon past. To spite your love, I would not dare, for there is not another who spreads her gentle love and care like you, my loving mother. Brethren, again, we're probably here today in a spiritual sense because of our mother. We are certainly here in a physical sense because of our mother, but we're probably taught our spirituality, our emotions, our concerns because of her. Now, let me speak for your mother for just a moment. Maybe she's here, maybe she's not. But if you've never rendered obedience to what we call the primary principles of the gospel, you've reached a degree of maturity that you know what Jesus expects of you, but you've never come, you've never shown your belief, you've never confessed His name, you've never acknowledged a willingness to turn away from sin and be baptized, which is for the remission of those sins, I assure you, if your mother wished one wish for you, it would be that you would come. So this morning, if there's someone here who needs to respond in order to be baptized, or if for some other reason you need to come, won't you take advantage of this song? Won't you take advantage of this invitation and come as we stand and as we sing?